Jung offers us many, many simple and variable tools that we can use to help us to clear our mind and to find harmony with what's going on around us. Qigong has been life-changing for me. Fascinating insights into our health and well-being, fascinating insights on how we can optimize our performance, and then broader philosophical insights to help us understand our place in the world and how we interact with the world around us. What these people found was that if they came back from their day of working and done before then resting and going to sleep, that they had less illness, less aches and pain than if they just came back from their day of working and just rested straight away. We live in a time where stress and the way it impacts our mental health is different from any period of history.
You're tuned into the Active Action Podcast. Step into a world of engaging conversations with leading experts, where every episode is your chance to learn, grow, and stay inspired. Become our premium supporter and get access to expert articles and strategy guides on personal and professional development, and enjoy lots of other exclusive features. Visit our website activeaction.fm for more information and to explore all episodes. Don't forget to check our merchandise for exciting goodies at activeaction.shop. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Active Action Podcast. It's your host, Dr. Nazif. Today we have another amazing guest for you. As always, just wanted to let you know, we really appreciate dear listeners for sticking up to our podcast and keeping listening to us in a regular basis. We did start our premium supporters program. So if you become a premium supporter of the podcast, you'll get access to strategy guides and expert articles on personal and professional development. To do that, you can visit www.activeaction.fm/supporter and you can get started for free. Apart from that, we did start our own merchandise. So if you're looking into some good clothing lines or other quality goodies, feel free to visit www.activeaction.shop. Without further ado, let's introduce to you. Today we have our dear guest, John Munro, and we are going to talk about a very interesting topic, Qigong. Before getting into the topic, I wanted to let you guys know about our esteemed guest, John, a little bit. So John Munro is the founder of Long White Cloud Qigong, an international Qigong school with over 400 instructors worldwide. John also recently published a book titled Life-Changing Qigong, in which over 100 people shared their stories of how Qigong has been life-changing for them. Qigong is an ancient Chinese art of working with our living energy. It uses mind, body, and breath together to tune into our energy and fine-tune its flow. Historically, Qigong was applied to the areas of health and well-being, high performance, and martial arts and spirituality. Today, more and more people are discovering Qigong and turning to it as a tool for maintaining or regaining their physical and mental health. A very interesting topic today, but before all of that, how are you doing, John? And welcome to you to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, I'm doing very well. It's a pleasure to be here, Dr. Nazif.
Thank you, John. Do you want to introduce to yourself to our guest a little bit apart from what I just say?
Sure, yeah, I can tell a little bit more about myself. I won't go too much into my full story of how I got introduced to Qigong, but my first exposure to Qigong was when I was quite young, when I was about 10 years old. As a child, I had a very small exposure to Qigong, and it fascinated me. And then as a young adult, I had an opportunity to learn more. And so I studied traditional Chinese medicine and Qigong together. And since then, it has been the main focus of my adult life, basically ever since then. So over the last, few decades, it has been the main thing that I've focused on, and I find it so interesting. It provides fascinating insight into all those areas that we mentioned as the historical application of Qigong.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating insights into our health and well-being, fascinating insights on how we can optimize our performance, and then broader philosophical insights to help us understand our place in the world and how we interact with the world around us.
Thank you for that wonderful introduction, John. So, dear listeners, as you already know, the topic for today's podcast is Qigong and ancient wisdom for modern living. So can I begin with this question, dear John? What is Qigong? Can you kindly explain that for our audience?
Sure. In very simple terms, Qigong, it's one word, but it's made up out of two words. So the word qi is a word that Westerners have become quite familiar with lately. I think a lot of people know that qi means energy. So that's the first part. Gong, the second part, means, people aren't so familiar with that part, I don't think. And that means work or skill. So Qigong, quite simply, is working with our energy or developing skill with our energy. And there's lots of different ways that we can do that. The most common practices involve using our mind, our body, and our breath together to be able to tune into that energy and start to work with it.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that. So, Qigong, we know that this is ancient form and ancient wisdom for modern living, originating from Chinese, if I remember correctly. So can I ask you a bit more detail on that? Like, where did Qigong actually come from?
Yeah. So it's so ancient that we don't really have a clear understanding of exactly where or when it originated, other than the archaeological evidence goes back to between 5,000 and 8,000 years ago as sort of the first archaeological evidence of people doing Qigong or Qigong-like practice. There's written evidence that goes back, I think the earliest references are something like 4,000 years. So it's very, very ancient. But there are stories that tell us about its likely origin. So again, there's not one person who came up with Qigong or anything like that, but how this awareness and then these practices develop. And so some of these stories talk about the experience of the early villagers. So way back in the Neolithic era. So when people are using very simple tools and things like that. And the workers would go out and they would work hard all day in the field, growing crops, obtaining food. And in China, that meant working in rice paddy, right? Uh-huh. And so they would work hard all day and they would get very tired. And of course, they would get wet. And so being physically exhausted and also wet is a great combination to get sick. And so it was quite common at that time that they would get a variety of different illnesses, and in particular, they'd get aches and pains in their joints and things like that. And what these people found was that if they came back from their day of working and done before then, resting and going to sleep, that they had less illness, less aches and pain than if they just came back from their day of working and just rested straight away. And so they started to realize there was benefit to them in dancing, that it actually helped me to be healthy. And then little by little, they continued to observe, and when they danced in different ways, it had different effects. It helped them with different things. And so their understanding developed little by little. Oh, if I move this way, it helps with something affecting my back. And if I move this way, it helps with something affecting my arms. If I dance this way, it helps with my digestion and things like this. And so little by little, their understanding developed. And it became more and more refined, more and more nuanced. Until from that, we gained an understanding of how energy flows through different parts of our body, how it affects our different organs, how it affects our emotions. And so on. And then a lot of aspects of Chinese medicine developed from this, but then also the practices of Qigong developed as well. Now, a lot of what we see in Qigong today still comes back from those very early origins. those effectively shamanistic type dances that they did back at that time, when they would do things like copy the movements of different animals. So when they were dancing like a bird, or they're dancing like a tiger, or they're dancing like all these different animals or other things in nature. And that carries right through into today, where many different Qigong practices copying animals or copying different things in nature, but doing those movements, copying those animals, because of the way they affect us, because of the way they affect our being.
Thank you so much, dear John, for that wonderful history about Qigong. Can I ask you for a bit more clarification? So during this modern time, or at this time, what does Qigong usually look like? So what does people actually do when they practice Qigong?
Yeah. I try to always be careful when I describe Qigong, to help people to understand that Qigong is a very broad term. So there are many different variations of the practices within it, because there's many different ways we can work with our energy and different purposes that we might have for that. So having said that, it can involve many, many different things that can look very different within different practices. The most common types of Qigong that people will see, they're most commonly done standing, and most commonly they involve slow, flowing movement with awareness of the breath, and then sometimes with awareness of some imagery or symbolism within the movement. So that then guides the mind in some way as well, while you're doing slow flowing. So the movements are often done slowly for a couple of reasons. One being, when we do things slowly, it allows us to have a great awareness of what we're doing. So it really helps us to connect our mind to what we're doing, and we can observe the little detail of what's going on. And that is really necessary if we want to start to be aware of our energy, because this can be quite subtle sometimes. And so that's one of the reasons why it's done slowly. Another reason why Qigong is often done slowly is because of the physiological effect it has on us. When we move very slowly using maybe large flowing movement, our nervous system becomes very active. But something that would not is quite simple, if we just did it fast without thinking about it, it wouldn't require a lot of neurological activity. When we go slowly with great control, the nervous system becomes very active. So this actually builds energy within our body, within our system as well. So those are a couple of reasons why it's done slowly. And we really feel the energy build up, and we start to feel the energy move within our body. And because we're doing it slowly, we have that awareness that develops as well. Now, again, it's not all done slowly. Some of it's done fast as well, but other regions too. But those are the most common types of practice people will see. Something that people are often more familiar with in terms of terminology is Tai Chi. So they may not have heard of Qigong, but they've heard of Tai Chi. Tai Chi, when people say Tai Chi, normally what they mean is Tai Chi Chuan, because Tai Chi is a philosophical concept. Tai Chi Chuan is actually a martial art. And a lot of people don't realize that. But they've seen people doing flowing movement, which is a martial art, but it's also a type of Qigong. So many Qigong practices may look a bit like Tai Chi, even though their focus may not be a martial art, but it might be trouble.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much for describing that, John. So you did talk about what Qigong actually is and how people are currently practicing it. But before that, we also spoken about like the ancient history of Qigong. So can you kindly let our audiences know, during that ancient time, like how was Qigong like used historically?
Yeah, so as you mentioned briefly before, there were three main areas that it was applied to. So one being health, another one being specifically martial art, and then another one that was applied within spirituality or religion. And so I can talk a little bit more about each of those specifically, how they applied those teachings. So in terms of health, there were two sides to this, really. So one being doing the practices to keep yourself well, or to help yourself recover from illness. Practicing Qigong as a general practice will generally help to maintain health But there can also be very specific exercises and practices for specific issues that someone might experience. Mm-hmm. That's one side of it. The other side of it is that as you develop skill with your energy, once you've reached a sufficient level of skill, you can actually use that energy in a very direct way to help other people to regain their health as a type of healing modality. So Chinese medicine doctors, going back a long time ago, generally had skill in both of these areas. They would use a variety of ways of treating people, using herbs, using famous Chinese therapies such as Kung Fu and things like that, and as a way to help their patient. But they could also recommend specific exercise to them that they could do to improve their health. And when needed, they could also use their own energy as a form of treatment to help their patient recover as well. So that's the health side of it. In terms of the martial arts side, again, different parts to that in terms of how it could be applied to martial arts. One part of it, again, was building yourself up. So making yourself, training yourself so that you could use your body and energy more effectively, so you could be faster, stronger, and quicker reflexes, better balance, and all of these sorts of things. And then the other side of that was, again, if you've developed enough skill with your energy to understand how to, rather than help someone to become healthier and recover from illness, actually understand how to disrupt someone else's energy in the context of fighting. And so, you know, there were two sides to that as well. Then in terms of spirituality, yeah, this is an interesting area of application, because sometimes people get the wrong idea about Qigong in a couple of ways. They actually get the wrong idea about it in connection with martial arts as well. Sometimes people think that Qigong is a martial art, and it's not a martial art. It's a skill that can be applied to martial art. We can apply it to all sorts of areas in our life. It's not a martial art in itself. And again, in relationship to spirituality, because Qigong was applied within a variety of different spiritual traditions and different religions. And so sometimes that leads some people to think that, oh, maybe Qigong is a religion. No, Qigong is not a religion. Just the same way it's not a martial art. But it's a set of tools that many different religious or spiritual groups have found useful within their practices. Because of the way we have to, again, in order to tune into our energy and become aware of it, we have to tune into some of the finer details of what's going on within us and around us. And so through its practice, we develop a lot of self-awareness, a lot of self-knowledge, and also a lot of understanding of the world around us and appreciation of it. And so many different spiritual groups and religions have actually found that this supports them in their religious or spiritual practice. Not that the Qigong is the religion, but it's something that draws them closer to their spiritual aim. So those are the historical applications. And all of these, I think, we can think of them in an ancient context. You think of an ancient Chinese medicine doctor, maybe in a village somewhere, and you can think of a monk either training martial arts in the mountains or maybe a different monk sitting on a mountain meditating, and they can seem a bit exotic and ancient and all that sort of thing. But if you dig to the root of those purposes, they're all very applicable still today. You know, still today, we want to be healthy, don't we? And so we can use Qigong to be healthy. And we may not want to do martial arts. We may not want to train in being able to fight people. But maybe we want to be more than just healthy. We want to be really at a peak level of performance. Qigong can help us with that. We might not want to follow a particular spiritual tradition or religion. It's really valuable to understand ourselves better and understand our connection with the world around us better. And so those are all still applicable today as they were ancient.
Thank you so much, John, for that very wonderful history, but also like how anciently Qigong was used. And one thing I really like when you mentioned that we don't have to follow the spirituality, but we also can remember that practicing Qigong can also, you know, at that ancient time, used to have a technique to bring inner peace. So that's something which is still applicable today. And I'm so mesmerized to learn about the holistic application of the Qigong that was done, but how can some of those techniques or some of those things can be applied now at this time for Qigong? So my next question to you is, how do you think Qigong can help us in the modern day present time?
Sure. Well, yeah, I guess we've already started into that a little bit in terms of, you know, those same, you know, applications from histories are still very valuable today, maybe to make that, you know, a little bit more simple and practical, specific mm-hmm. ways that might apply to people. In terms of health, for example, it can apply to everything from, you know, mm-hmm. people who have serious illnesses and diseases. Qigong might be something that they knew as part of helping them to cope with or even overcome those illnesses and diseases. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that they wouldn't also get other medical or health advice and treatment as well, but it can certainly be something they use alongside those as a way to help them. It's interesting, actually, just yesterday, I met up with, I'm currently in Vietnam, by the way, for people who are listening, and I met up with a medical doctor from Malaysia who happens to be training here, and he has his own practice. And we were talking about what he's doing, and he's working specifically with cancer patients. And his practice is basically focused on giving patients alternative options for treatments other than necessarily just what's standardly available. And he said a lot of what they offer to their patients is similar to Qigong or Qigong related, working with the mind, working with the body as a way to help people and help them to extend their lives and help them to deal with the cancer. And so that's one area. It can apply to any type of illness. But also, it doesn't have to be anything that severe. It can be very simple things, again, like maybe improving your digestion. There are great practices that can help us with that, or just simply helping us to not get colds as often. Just simply maintaining our health today's age where we have a lot of stress. We live in a time where stress and the way it impacts our mental health is different from any period of history earlier. Certainly at earlier stages of history, there was stress. People had all sorts of things that were stressful. They had different kinds of stress. They had stress about things that impacted them very physically and with very immediate tangible results. And so they often had different ways of dealing with it where they could do something about what was stressing them very directly. Hmm. Whereas a lot of the stress that we have today, what we do in our own life, we can control. Stress about things going on around us, we can't. We often, there's not much we can do about it. And so it just sits in the background as something that's residual. And so what we need to do is learn how to deal with our response to those things. And Qigong offers us many, many simple and variable tools that we can use to help us to clear our mind and to find harmony with what's going on around us. And these can range from simple breathing practices to, again, the type of moving practices that and I've described that can help us to let go of tension that we're holding in our body and to bring us into a state of mind where we have more peace, more calm, we're able to focus more clearly and do what we can in our lives without being too caught up in the things going on around us.
So wonderful. And like you mentioned, the holistic application of Qigong and the broad spectrum probability and the broad spectrum positivity it can bring on to someone, an individual person, is really intriguing. And I'm sure our listeners would be very interested to know more about Qigong, to learn more and to practice that into their own lifestyle as well. From your experience, John, I know that you're connected a lot to the practice of Qigong. Do you have any stories of how Qigong actually has helped people?
Yes, of course. As I mentioned, or you mentioned in the introduction, I recently published a book called Life Changing Qigong. And the inspiration for that book actually came from, as I was traveling last year, I traveled to teach some workshops. I met up with quite a few people who I had had interaction with online over several years, but I hadn't met in person. And so as we first met in person, they would talk to me about their experience with Qigong. as they talked, I kept hearing the same word again and again. Each time someone came in our first conversation, they would come and they would talk to me and they'd say, John, Qigong has been life-changing for me. And then I'd talk to someone else and they would say the exact same words. They'd say, Qigong has been life-changing. And then someone else, life-changing. And then they would share their stories with me about how Qigong had been life-changing for them. And as I heard these stories, I thought, this is wonderful. It's really nice to hear how what I've spent most of my life on has been having a positive effect on people. That's a beautiful thing. And that was really nice to me to hear. But also as I heard those stories, I thought, I'm probably not the most valuable person to hear these stories because I already know how much benefit there is in Qigong. And so I thought it would be really a really excellent thing to share these stories with other people and let them hear how Qigong has been life-changing to people. And so that's where the idea for the book came from. And so we sent a message out and said, hey, if you have a story about Qigong, you'd like to share it, maybe send it in. We compiled it and we put all those into one book. And they're all very different stories that people have, ranging from simply, as we talked about, being more calm, simple things like that. People found that it helps to build up their self-esteem, which is an interesting thing that you might not think of from a practice like that. Things like overcoming injuries, overcoming different illnesses, even coping with and overcoming addiction. So a really wide range of different experiences that people had and how Qigong helped them in their life.
Thank you so much. That was very inspiring and wonderful, John. And I really encourage my dear audiences to check out John Munro's book, Life-Changing Qigong, in which more than 100 people, John mentioned, shared their story of how Qigong has been life-changing for them. And I'm sure that would have a similar impact in your life as well. Out from my curiosity, dear John, at this time, if someone wants to get started with Qigong, how can they do that?
Sure. There's lots of resources available to do Qigong now. When I first started some decades ago, it's very hard to find Qigong teachers or even good resources for learning Qigong. There are lots now. One good place to start, I think, is, of course, I may be a little bit biased, but I think we teach quite well. So you might want to check that out. So longwhitecloudqigong.com. Look, brought it up there on screen. That's great. And we have a lot of resources here. If you go up to the courses part there, and if you were to click on that, you see we've got short courses, we've got certification courses, we've got live streaming sessions, and we've got a range of free Qigong videos as well. So again, under that courses menu, you'll see if you go to free Qigong videos, there's a bunch of videos. You can just follow along with them and try them. And that's a good place to start. If you also, we also have a couple of free introductory Qigong courses as well. So again, I think if you go to the courses there and go, if you look at short courses, if you go to the short courses and you scroll down there. Yeah. So these first couple ones are free, the ones at the top.
Okay.
So Introduction to Qigong Theory and Practice and the Complete Natural Breath. And that's a great place within those courses. They don't just teach you the practices. They teach you all the principles behind the practices. So that can give you a really good start to really understand what Qigong is and how it works and how you can get benefit from it. And even if you decide that you would like to do some Qigong through a different school, which is, you know, that's fine. There's so much wonderful Qigong out there. You'll find that this gives you a good base and understanding to really get the most out of it.
Thank you so much, John, for letting our dear audience know about from where they can learn more about Qigong. And I really encourage the audiences, if you are looking to understand the positive impact of Qigong or you're interested to learn more about that, how you can adopt that into your own lifestyle, definitely I encourage you to visit the website www.longwhitecloudqigong.com. I'll spell that out for our audiences. That is www.longwhiteclouding.com. Apart from that, if you have questions about Qigong, or if you want to know more about John and his work, I do encourage to visit John's personal webpage on our Active Action website. That is www.activeaction.fm/person/John Monroe. So in that webpage, there is the bio of John, but also links to his website and his other socials. So if you want to get in touch with John, I think that is a good way to do that. Thank you so much, dear John, for sharing with us today about Qigong and also about your own personal journey with Qigong, your book, and also about your organization, the Long White Cloud Qigong. I really appreciate your words of wisdom, and I'm sure our audiences would be interested to learn more about that. I'm really appreciating your openness to support them or openness to answer any questions that they might have. That is always very helpful.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Nazir. Yes, always open to helping people and pointing them towards good information, good resources.
Thank you, John. And I wish you the best of luck with all your future endeavors. Thank you so much again for joining today's podcast and sharing your words of wisdom with our beautiful audiences.
Great. It's been a pleasure being here.
Thank you so much, John. Dear audiences, thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you find this valuable, please feel free to share this with your friends and family. Stay active and take action. I'll meet you in the next episode.
Thank you for joining us on the Active Action Podcast at activeaction.fm. We hope today's episode gave you some entertainment, fresh perspectives, and a little extra motivation to take action in your own life. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed the show, share it with someone who might love it too. Oh, one more thing. Become our premium supporter and get access to expert articles and strategy guides on personal and professional development, and enjoy lots of other exclusive features. Get started for free. Visit our website, activeaction.fm/supporter, for more information. Take care, stay active, and take action.